Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Lynn Keys, episode 150. Hold up, we live? Wait a second. We good. Just had to make sure. Hitting the ground running right away. Lynn Keys, Bro Talk, episode 150. My energy is super high tonight. Lee's energy is super high tonight. So we're definitely on a whole different wave, as we would say on the East Coast. I don't know if you know, you Denver people are familiar. What is that, the Midwest? I don't know if the Midwest are familiar with that term, but the wave is that, and maybe that's the East Coast thing. But yeah, I'm on the wave tonight. Lee's on, you know, he's on something, and you know, I got a Sam 76 right here. I got a cold Sam 76 right in my hand, and I'm gonna drink this. I'm gonna celebrate tonight. This is my second one already, so, and it's 8 o'clock. So, you know, the 8 o'clock might as well be 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you know, at my age. So, hey, it's early, and I'm just pumped because episode 150. You know, I wasn't even keeping track of the fact that we've been doing these radio shows already for 3 years. That time flew by. You know, that was super crazy when I realized that. Because when we started doing these shows, I want to say it was like late 2017. I want to say our first show was like late September, early October 2017, and we're now in early August of 2020, which is pretty crazy. At that time, like I didn't even know what 2020 was gonna be like. I had no vision for that at all, but we had a vision for our show, though. You know, Lee actually had a vision for our show. He actually kind of originated that. So, yeah, Lee, talk to him for a minute.
Oh, man. I didn't know it was 150 either until you said something earlier. But, you know, damn, it's been 3 years already? Wow. Man, all right. I remember our first episode like it was yesterday. It was probably not as technical and well put together as we are today. But, you know, 150, that's something to celebrate. You know, mean that we're doing something, man. We're doing something. We got something to say. So thanks to everybody that listened. Thanks to everybody that's been a co-host or a guest host or, you know, that called in, you know, all that good stuff. You know, appreciate the support. And 150 down, 100, who knows how many more to go. So, you know, we'll just keep on going.
Yeah, man, I said infinity.
I tried to reply to that text. I tried to reply to that tweet, man. It wouldn't let me reply to it. So, I don't know. But,
it's kind of bugging out.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said it's a great feeling, man. 150, man. You know, just for people that might not know, you know, me and Keys used to go back and forth on Twitter. And then one day I DM'd him. I was like, hey, man, y'all thought about doing the podcast? And he was like, yeah, man, you know, that's cool. So, you know, we kept on talking and DMing. And then Keys found us a platform. He came up with the name of the show. And then, you know, we put our boots to the ground and ran with it. So, you know, here we go.
Yeah, and it's been fun. You know, the thing that I've liked about this all this time is that, you know, I remember our episode 50. I remember our 50th episode, the way that felt. I remember episode 100, the way that felt, and the way we treated that. And this episode 150 is no different. You know, it's just different in the sense that it's a different time, and we're at a different place, you know, mentally and physically in our lives, and also just in the way that we, you know, conduct our shows. You know, it just changed, you know, drastically through all those, you know, big episodes, you know, from point A to B to C. We just, you know, we've transformed a lot, and we've evolved a lot, and we've learned a lot, and, you know, we've gotten a lot better. like you were saying, it's you know, it's been a long way from my first episode. You know what I mean? Even our first 10 episodes, first 20 episodes, it's a long way from where we were at that time. You know, nowadays it's just kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we know how to do this like the back of our hand, you know, and it's, and who knows, you know, me, who knows what we may do in the near future. You know, we've talked about, you know, going to, you know, more of like a video style, radio show. We've definitely, you know, talked about that. We've looked at other platforms and things like that. We've looked at, you know, different ways to distribute, you know, our radio show, you know, being that, like, you know, we're mainly on this channel, but, you know, we've talked about, you know, look, you know, venturing into different channels to distribute our show, and you know me, I mean, I have a communications degree, you know, this might even be something that takes me to a place where I'm actually working at a radio station down the line, or, you know, I get into radio and I might even want to become a radio host. You know, that'd be something cool. That's something that I was always, you know, my school I went to actually had a radio station. And that was something I was always interested in. So who knows?
This podcast has definitely, I would say, sharpened our skills as far as talking, you know, like I said, as far as like my writing, I think being on the show has definitely helped improve me in my writing skills. But, you know, man, I just think this is something that we love to do. It ain't something that we want. It's just something that we love to do. So, you know, when you're doing stuff you love, man, you just have more fun with it. So, you know, it's all show, man, you know. But I do think it's probably about time for us to change our platform probably next year. We probably should look at probably going another route with our show. You know, we'll probably talk about that. But I think it's about time for us to change, maybe reach a bigger audience, you know, maybe become a video show like you said. I think that'll be cool too. But you know, we got options, man. It's all show. We can do with it as we please. So, we don't have no, we all our own bosses. So, you know, we could do, we have all the power.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's definitely, it's an interesting thing to think about. I mean, it's, we put in a lot of time, literally a lot of time. I mean, for the most part, we've done, like, you know, pretty much one-hour blocks for our shows. I mean, those that listen, you know, sometimes we get, you know, we go overboard on a topic. We'll go overboard on a topic, and, you know, we might go into a 90-minute show, and we might go into a two-hour show. We've definitely had, you know, our handful of longer shows that we've done, you know, which are shows we're able to, you know, continue a dialogue and keep on extending into something. But into something, you know, that we're talking about. Sometimes the conversations, the debates, or whatever, the back and forth just get that heated, or just not even heated, but just gets that interesting. And I think that's something that, you know, I think we could both agree, and that I can definitely attest for. I can definitely say that, you know, that's something that I really loved about doing these radio shows all this time, was just how, you know, we can have a debate, or we can have a back and forth. And like I said, have it not be necessarily heated, but it's so interesting, you know, the points, you know, one another makes, and that we're able to keep bouncing, you know, those points and those ideas back and forth, and it just continues on into a great dialogue, a great conversation, and especially when, you know, when we have guests call in. So that's something I've always loved about it.
Yeah, man. And I think another thing is, I think somebody must be listening to our show, because there's been plenty of things that we talked about on our show that the UFC has done, and I was like, wow. So I think somebody got their ears to our street, dog.
And it's funny because, you know, Lee has been saying that for a while. He's been saying that for a long time, since early on, you know, since probably in the first 50 episodes we did, the first 20 episodes we did, that, you know, the ideas we were coming up with and the conversations we were having, the things that we would say or the things that he might suggest, and he might say, yo, Keys, I think they should go this route, or maybe they should try this, or maybe this guy is going to go over here and do this or this promotion, you know what I mean? And then the next thing you know, you see that thing implemented. And it's always been strange. You know, at first I used to laugh a lot at it, but then time and time again, we would suggest things and we would be, you know, putting out ideas and we would see them come to fruition the way that we said it would. And it's really odd coincidence, because the amount of times that it's happened is in the double digits. It's probably in the higher double digits, probably more than, I would say more than 20 times we have said something exactly, and it has panned out exactly the way that we said it did, and that really raises the question of who exactly has been listening to our show and where our ideas and thoughts are really reaching to. Because it's always been strange, and that's something I can definitely say. It's always been very strange.
Yeah, man, it's actually it's kind of flattering. It actually gives us credibility that we know what we're talking about. So, you know, that being said, it's good that somebody is actually spying on us, I should say.
Excuse me. I had the hiccups all day. But yeah, no, it definitely gives us some credibility in the show. Uh-huh. I mean, the things, it definitely gives us credibility and things that, you know, it shows the things that we're coming up with. You know, we must know a bit of what we're talking about. I mean, I think in the early stages, you know, we used to say, we don't claim to be experts or anything like that. We still don't claim to be experts, but after a while of the things that we were saying, you know, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. I was making sure you could hear me.
All right, cool. Oh, no, I can hear you. I can hear you. I was just responding to what you said. You know, we end up with some credibility because the things we say tend to work out.
Yeah, man, it's just you know, one thing about when you do a show, you know, the thing is when we talk about stuff, the first thing we want to do is be objective. That's number one. Secondly, we want to make sure we know what we're talking about. And thirdly, we don't always have to be fact-based. But we like to make sure that what we're talking about is true. So unless we're giving our opinion, because your opinion is your opinion. But yeah, man, it's been crazy, man. Somebody out there listening to us and running with our ideas and ain't paying us, but that's okay.
Well, see, that's the thing, because now I think you know, we've done 150 episodes on this platform on Blog Talk Radio, and I think you know, the conversations we've had in the past about, you know, possibly moving on to, you know, bigger and better platforms, you know, to reach bigger audiences and things like that. I think we're definitely, you know, arriving at that point where it's like, now we'll be going into some more serious talks about how to transfer our platform, transfer our voice, you know, onto a new route. You know, take a new route and see how we can bring our show to life in a new way, in some new shape or form. So I think it's about that time, 150 episodes later.
Yeah, man, you know, with all good things, man, sometimes you have to move on. You know, you have to take a different route, you know, to extend your success. So, you know, I mean, it ain't like it's something that's going to happen like tomorrow, but hey, let's get into it, man. What you want to talk about tonight?
So, I'm glad you asked. The thing that I've mentioned and that I want to talk to you about. I had mentioned this to you, but I didn't go into detail about what I was, It's been a long week. So I didn't go into detail about what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say was that I believe the UFC right now, we are in a dark age in the UFC right now. We're in a dark age. And what I'm trying to say is before I said we are in the dark ages of the UFC. Now, I don't want to say all that, but we are in a dark age in the UFC, a dark time. And what I mean to say is that now, I was thinking about this the other day, and one of my good friends that I watch fights with was like, oh, how come you don't really want to watch the fights anymore, da-da-da. And I was like, man, listen, I was like, all of my favorite guys have fallen. Okay, all my guys that I like to watch have fallen from the good graces. And it just so happens that, you know, at least three of those guys were all champions in their respective divisions, and they were all putting on good fights in their respective divisions, you know, whether they were the champion or, you know, in that picture, you know, in that title picture or whatever, vice versa. Now, not just that, but the whole lineup of champions has changed. And now the champions that you're seeing now, and we can go through and we can talk about each one, and you will start to see the pattern that I'm talking about. I'm telling you, you start to see it. When you go through the list, you will realize that the list of champions now versus the list of champions previous is not the same caliber. And if you look at the fights that they're putting on, that is not the same caliber of title fights that we were seeing with the previous lineup of champions before they all changed belts. Because every division has recently changed belts except for a few. And I'll get into that too, because I've thought about those divisions, and even those is lacking for its own reasons. Now, what do you have to say about that? Yo, Evan, you there?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Evan?
What's going on?
How you doing tonight?
I wouldn't say it's a dark age, but it's a transitional period. You have to look at it like this. We had to get through the Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz. We had to get through their little time period. Now we're getting through the Stipe, GSP, John Jones. You know, we're starting to get through their little era. So now it's time for new blood, man. And I know for a while I was preaching that the UFC needs new blood. And I'm still, I mean, I don't mind new blood as long as they're good fighters and they're not being handed opportunities and they're earning opportunities. I think, but the thing, Keys, you have to keep in mind, bro, and Evan, you probably, I think you probably agree with me on this, is that we're now in a time with the UFC where they're not trying to appeal to the hardcore fan no more. That's not their main purpose anymore. Their main purpose is the casual fan. So, that's why I think now, more than ever, you see Cody Garbrandt getting a title fight at flyweight. Why? Because he's a name. He's a former champion. Does he deserve it? No. That's why Aldo got a shot at the bantamweight belt, because he's a name. People knows him. So it's just, we just at a different time, man, in the sport. So I wouldn't label it as a dark age. I will probably go with more of a transition period, because I know, probably in my heart of hearts, that if the next John Jones fight, and I'm calling conspiracy theory already, his next fight, if it goes to a decision, he will lose the belt. And I'm calling that right now. What do you think, Evan?
So I kind of jumped in at the last part of the conversation. So what was, like, the general topic?
So, Hold on, let me explain it, because I was thinking about this, and I pitched this to Lee, because this is how I've been feeling. And I've really taken a step back from even watching UFC events, because I just don't have the intrigue I did before. And what I was saying to Lee is that a lot of my favorite, you know, fighters to watch have all fallen from the good graces, and a lot of them, those guys were champions before. And pretty much when you look at it, not just those guys, but the whole lineup of champions we previously had in the last like 3-4 years has pretty much all lost their belt to guys that aren't putting on the caliber of fights that those champions were putting on. Now let's get into it for a second. So John Jones, 2017 and prior, the fights that he was putting on, Daniel Cormier, 2017 and prior, the fights he was putting on. Bisping was the middleweight champion, the fights he was putting on. 170, Tyron Woodley, if the fights he was putting on. 155 and 145, McGregor, pretty much during that whole run, the fights he was putting on. 135, I think, was Dillashaw. I think Dillashaw was the champion. Dillashaw was putting on great fights. 125, Demetrius Johnson was putting on great fights. Now, the women's divisions have been the same for a while, but the thing that is getting stale about that is that Nunes is amazing, and I like watching her fight. She's not somebody who I need to watch. Like, Valentina's not somebody who I need to watch. Wiley Zhang is not someone who I need to watch. None of those are fighters who I'm running to the bar to go watch, but it's like I do enjoy watching their fights. But the thing is with them, or at least with Valentina and Nunes, is that I feel like they're monopolizing their divisions because they're so much better than everybody, that it's just like the title fights are so one-sided that it's not resulting in classic fights. You're not getting like, you know, a Whitaker-Romero style fights. Oh, that's another one. Whitaker was the middleweight champion. Look at the fights he put on as champion. That even adds to my point. But that's what I'm trying to say, is that you're not getting that level of competition, Whitaker-Romero style fights, because it's so one-sided in both those divisions. They're so much better than everybody that it's almost not even fun to follow it, because there's no faith in any contender to have a shot at beating either one of them. That's where I'm kind of at with the UFC champions, is that as for the men's divisions, I feel like the champions now are not putting on the level of fights that they used to, or the level of fights as the previous champion. And as for the women's divisions, I feel like those divisions are mainly monopolized by champions that are so superior to everyone. Yes, exactly. So that's pretty much my point I made to him, Evan. And he said that and I called it a dark age in the UFC. And Lee said, no, it's not a dark age. It's a transition period.
Okay. So I get what you're saying, though. Like, it makes perfect sense what you're saying about, especially when you talk like Nunes and Shevchenko, you know, they're kind of, the talent is just on a different level with those two. Like, the UFC promoted Nunes versus Spencer as a headline pay-per-view, and we all fell for it like it was actually going to be a competitive fight. It was 5 rounds of just pure domination for Nunes, and I fell for it. I believed that Felicia was going to do something. I put money on Felicia.
I picked it up.
Right, so that, I get that. Like, I get where that's, you know, where you're coming from with that. And that, you know, that makes perfect sense. It's kind of hard to find interest when your champions just aren't fighting. You know, that's the problem I feel like I'm having, especially with, like, featherweight, even lightweight. You know, featherweight has plenty of challengers, but you know, the UFC is stuck on trying to get Max to be champion again instead of just letting Volkanovski fight the contenders. And, you know, there's not really a number one contender yet, even though it looks like Sabit might jump up and take that opportunity. Who knows? But that's the problem. They're relying on certain names to be champions. They're relying on, you know, just dominant performances from their champions to clear out the divisions, even though that's exactly what Demetrius Johnson did, and they traded him.
Hey, man.
Nah, not, What's up? No, you said
I
said
Asian.
I got you. Now I'm rambling a little bit here, but like, no, I'm just I don't like where it's going with champions. I don't, you know, I think we got, you know, like once they actually let the champions defend against actual contenders and not just like the stupid stuff. Like, for example, you got Cody Garbrandt going down to fight Figgy, and granted, Cody's legit at 135. He was the former champion, but we have no idea how his body is going to react at 125. He might get knocked out stiff again. Who knows? When you got plenty of talent at 125 to make a title fight. Is it going to sell? Probably not, but who cares? Enough of the super fight crap, you know? It's so tiresome, and that's why your champions, this is a perfect example, that's why your champions are just so dominant, is because you're having them fight like random super fight challenges. You're not even letting them really face the contenders they're supposed to face. It's just all silly, but I guess that's opinion on the whole thing. I don't even know, honestly.
I mean, that's the thing too, right? Because in my opinion, I don't respect how guys are getting, like, some of the champions right now. I'm not encouraged to follow them because I haven't seen them legitimately win their belt. Like, in perfect example, I know you guys may be fans of him, but like, Peter Yan beat Aldo for the bantamweight title, and for me, like, that is not. I don't see him as the bantamweight champion to me. I don't feel, because you fought a guy who is like way over the hill in his career, and like it was like a mismatch to even have. And like people were picking Aldo just because we love Aldo, not because we really think young kid can't like thrash him. You know what I mean? And like that's pretty much what we end up seeing. And it's just like he's not even a contender in that division, and you beat him and you're the champion. Like I just can't really respect that because that's not a legitimate contender. You fought a guy who's a washed up Aldo. Like he's not nearly what he used to be. You know, all these guys are just. That kind of stuff, I just don't, and that's the problem. That's why I say it's a dark age, because you're just seeing, illegitimate champions. You know, until Jan fights Sterling, and the winner of that fight is the bantamweight champion. I'm not going to say until he beats him, because I don't think he beats him. I think Sterling beats him. But what I'm trying to say is until those two guys fight, the winner of that is the champion. But right now, that is not, to me, he is not the bantamweight champion.
But once again, is that Jan's fault or is that the UFC fault? Me personally, I bring UFC. There is no way that you could sell to us UFC fans that Jan versus Aldo should have been from the bantamweight belt. No, it should have been Jan versus Aljamain Sterling. And for some strange reason, Dana White refuses to give Aljamain Sterling his proper due and get him a title fight. It's like he's hell-bent on not giving him a title fight, just like he was kind of hell-bent on not giving Corey Anderson a title fight. It's like, bro, what's the purpose of the rankings if you're not going to use them? The rankings should be used to determine number one contenders for the belt. If they come up with any other fight outside of Jan versus Sterling, it's because the UFC just doesn't want Sterling fight, and I'll just leave it at that. Volkanovski, he beat Max. I mean, you could say the last fight, I had Max winning the last fight, so I know it's been rumblings that, that they might do Volkanovski versus Max 3, but why would you do that when not technically in the record book, it shows Volkanovski up 2-0. So you got to give somebody else another shot. And then we're not even going to talk about Khabib. When the last time he fought? Poirier? His last fight was Poirier. Bro, he fight once a year. How can your champion fight once a year? No, man. You got to do better than that, UFC. I know that Keys, you sound doom and gloom, but at the same time, we got to give these young guys a chance to, these young guys and young ladies a chance to build a legacy. And it might come at the expense of some of our favorite fighters becoming gatekeepers or basically fading to the back. That's just the way sports is. Just like if you look at basketball, LeBron is in his 17th year. Who are they talking about now? Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum. They're talking about all the young guys. So there's always going to be a time where you got to usher out the old guard and welcome in the new guard. And I just think we got to give these young guys and these young ladies a chance to prove themselves to us. And hopefully they're getting the best competition afforded to them to make us believers or it exposed. So we'll see what happens, man. It's just the UFC has to get out of their own way. Get out of your own way. Make your rankings mean what they mean, and basically use your rankings as your matchmaking tool. If you do that, then we as fans have no problem with the matchmaking. We don't have a reason to question whether or not a guy or a girl is a bona fide champion because they would have fought their way to the top.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that it's I think for me it would just be it'd be better for me if, like, point to what Evan was saying a little bit ago, is that I think it'd be better for me if we were seeing guys fight the best guys in their own division. Like, I would be fine if we had I know Lee, you said that, you know, everybody is jumping on the Brandon Moreno train, so you were judging me with that, but you know, don't hate on my guy, right? He puts in work in there, puts in work in that octagon, and I would be totally fine if they did Moreno versus who is it, Alex Perez? If they did that fight and had for the title, if you did that thing, whatever it is, I forgot they even had a champion because that title fight was so illegitimate to me too. Where Figueiredo fought a guy he technically already beat, and Benavidez is over the hill too. So I don't understand this whole thing here. That you just brought a great point. Thank you. Another illegitimate title. I don't even really feel like that Figueiredo is the champion because he fought another over-the-hill guy who has lost every title fight he's ever been in. So put him in another title fight when you already lost. I don't even understand it. They pushed that so hard to make a rematch for that, and I don't even understand why. But anyways, you could have had these other young guys, like we're saying, fight for the title. You know what I mean? Guys that are game who have never been in a title fight and are hungry for a title. That's who I want to see in a title fight. Somebody who's 0-0 in title fights because they want the chance a lot more, you know, and they want it a lot more than guys that are 0-4 in title fights. You know what I mean? So, or 1-1 in title fights. You know, they never had that chance before. So, and if they did have it at a smaller promotion, they've never had it at this stage. So, if there was more of that going on, I would be more happy with these current champions. Jan, I cannot acknowledge him as the champion until he fights Aljamain Sterling. If he does not fight Aljamain Sterling, I probably won't even watch his next fight because it's completely false. The bantamweight division is just a complete fallacy. It is a complete myth, and I will not watch it because the only fight is Jan versus Sterling. Anything else is complete bogus.
That fight
might as well be the Khabib and Ferguson of the bantamweight division because it's been a while now and not in the same way that they've tried to book it and it failed. Obviously, it's not the same situation, but it's the same situation in regards to this is the fight of the two best guys at bantamweight that we still have not seen, and we knew they were both the number one and number two guys, but they keep on having them fight other guys who are not each other. So it's a similar situation in that regard. So Jan and Sterling, if it doesn't get made next, could very well be the next Khabib and Ferguson, because we just will continue to see them fight other guys and not each other when they should be fighting each other.
Well, let's switch gears real quick, since both of you guys are big McGregor fans. As y'all probably know, earlier this week, Dana White said that Conor McGregor will not compete in 2020. I kind of like the fact that Dana White is taking control of the organization again and not letting Conor call his own shots. How do you guys feel about Dana calling Conor out like that and basically, quote unquote, taking control back? How y'all feel about that? Hello?
So, Evan, you go ahead. You answer first.
Okay.
Evan, go ahead.
I like it. I like that idea. I think, like, earlier, it was last year. It was more last year, because that's when Conor and Habib actually fought 2 years ago. But
it's been 2 years already?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2018. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Because it was UFC 229, so we could figure it out. But what's it called? Yeah, it was definitely. But anyway, yeah, I like that he's Dana White's putting his foot down and allowing, you know, in a sense, he's putting his foot down on Conor, you know, not allowing Conor to step in. But then again, I remember after he was doing like a pre-fight media thing, and they talked about the Khabib Gaethje fight, and I knew at some point he mentioned about how he you know, you got Conor, he wants that rematch. And it's like Conor has no wins. Conor has one win at 55, and that was in 2016 when he won the title. The only other win he has recently is a win at 170, and you can tell me that it's a 155-pound fight, but they didn't cut weight. Well, then what's the point of the weight classes, Dana White? Like, that was the stupidest thing I think I ever heard. So, and to Keyes's point, another no disrespect to Cowboy, but he hasn't looked as sharp as he used to. So, you know, you could call him an over-the-hill fighter. That's Conor's best win, really? And, like, that's supposed to get you your Khabib rematch? I don't see it. I don't want it. I like Conor. He's kind of like half the reason I got into the sport. But honestly, I hope he just retires. I don't think he really has anything else to offer to us. You know, I don't want the division to be clogged up anymore. It's already clogged up with Khabib. But, you know, Khabib has probably two fights left. And maybe that's it. And then 155 is stacked. And I'm talking about the fighters that aren't even getting the proper recognition, you know, the ones at the lower level. But even the guys in, like, the top six to eight, like Charles Oliveira and Paul Felder, like, they're getting recognition, but they're not even in the conversation, you know. They're just getting the, you know, all you got is Khabib, Tony, and Conor, and obviously Justin. So I will stop rambling. I like that Dana White put his foot down, but I expect to see Conor very soon, if Khabib wins against Justin.
Wait, so your conclusion is, you said you want him to retire, but you want to see Conor soon.
No. I want him to retire, but I expect to see him soon. Because if Khabib wins, you know Dana White's not going to miss out on making that rematch, even though chances are we're not going to have fans anytime soon. But he's not going to miss out on the money and the pay-per-view buys, especially the pay-per-view buys, because without fans, plenty of people are going to buy that pay-per-view.
Yeah, and, you know, it's agitating to me. It's very agitating to me, you know, that you see, you know, I see the article and Dana White says, you know, I don't have Conor McGregor on my schedule for the remainder of 2020, and, you know, he won't be fighting the remainder of 2020, like, I can guarantee it. I mean, How many times has Dana White said something and the opposite happened? You know, an infinite amount of times. You know, so him making a statement saying yay does not necessarily mean yay. You know, it could very well be nay. You know, we've seen that happen time and time again. You know, the same way, like he said, like John Jones will never fight in the UFC again, and then he does fight like five more times. And then the same way he says, like, Amanda Nunes will never be a UFC main event ever again, and then she main events like three more times. But, you know, those are just two examples. You could find so many more examples. But my point is that it's just agitating to me as a fan of McGregor that he wanted a season in 2020 and he wanted to have four fights. And he fought, instead of four fights, he fought for 40 seconds. And we didn't even really get to see him fight because we all know that's not anything. Like, people wanted to see, you know, at least a couple rounds. Someone like me wanted to see, like, you know, four or five rounds. But, you know, obviously that opponent wasn't going to be able to you know, put on that kind of fight. I definitely believe there was other fights that could have been made for McGregor. So I don't understand how this happened because I feel like it still is other fights, and there definitely was other fights that could have been made already in the past. Like the fact that the UFC is not jumping at like a Poirier McGregor rematch is just mind boggling to me because it's like, you know, people make it seem like that if you lose somebody and you get knocked out, that there's no way to market a rematch. Like, how is it not? If that's the case, then why did they make a Bisping versus Henderson 2? Because there was a way to market a rematch, and Bisping was the champion. Obviously, in this case, McGregor is not the champion, but if you look at the stature that Poirier has gotten to, Poirier was just the interim lightweight champion not even a year ago. Poirier is arguably, you know, at a higher stature in the UFC right now than McGregor is, based on his recent wins and the run that he's had. It's definitely arguable. And then to say, you know, how's that not a marketable rematch? Like, I don't even need to waste any more time explaining it. I just don't understand how they didn't jump at that fight, you know, and or how they didn't jump at a Diaz trilogy. I don't know how they didn't jump at that, or how they didn't jump at a Masvidal fight. How they didn't jump at that? Like, I'm just confused as to how there was no fights to be made for Conor. I just don't. It's agitating because I know there is. I know there was. And how were they not jumping at a Holloway and McGregor 155 fight? How is that not in play? I mean, Holloway just fought Poirier 155 in 2019. So it's almost made to seem like, you know, he it's not possible when it's very possible. Like, and there's all the storyline to be made. And, you know, Holloway would jump at that fight, you know, if it was on the table, and McGregor would be interested in that fight. You know, we've seen them trade barbs, you know, a million times. So I just don't understand, because in my case, there's so many fights that could be made and no fights were made, and it's just agitating. So that's how I feel about that. I think it's complete bogus.
Let me wrap this segment up by saying, yeah, there are probably plenty of fights out there to be made, but is Conor at the point where he want to pick and choose his opponent? And maybe that's the holdup. Maybe because he came out and said that he wanted to fight Gaethje. But he only wanted to fight Gaethje once Gaethje accepted the interim title fight. Come on, bro. Gaethje has to take the interim title fight so that he can hopefully fight for the belt. Why would he turn down that fight to fight you? Next, do you really think? I think Conor is in the Mayweather thing, man. I think he wants to pick and choose who he wants to fight and when he wants to fight. And I think Dana White is basically saying, nah, we ain't going to do it like that. You know, you give me a name, I'll let you know whether or not that's a feasible fight or that's a fight that people want to see. And maybe he threw out some names and Dana was like, nah, you know, I don't see the purpose of that fight. That fight has no rhyme or reason. But at the same time, Conor is big business, man. So I probably see him probably fighting in that opening card in January to kick off 2021. And I wouldn't mind if it's him versus Ferguson. I think that's the fight that people want to see. I think that'll be a fight that could sell. If it's not Ferguson, then we might get Gaethje versus Conor in January. So I think there is going to be a big fight for him to kick off 2021.
But I think right now Dana White is just putting him in timeout just to let him know who the boss is, and we'll see how things play out. You know, sometimes going to war with your star athletes don't always pan out. Just like this little war him and John Jones having right now. I don't know how that's going to pan out. So, you know, but the light heavyweight division is at a standstill right now because of John Jones and his little civil war with Dana White. Dana White has to fix that, or he's going to have to make a command decision. You either going to have to order an interim light heavyweight fight, or you're going to have to strip him. And with this new thing, with him trying to take back control of the organization, I wouldn't be surprised if he stripped John Jones of the light heavyweight belt and made an interim fight between Dominique Reyes. I mean, made a light heavyweight title fight between Dominique Reyes and Jan Blachowicz. So we'll see how it go, man. But Conor is good business. But I just think Dana White is making a statement that he's not going to be bullied by his fighters, and he's the one that's in control. In a way, I kind of like it. But I only like it if it's good for business. And would this be good for business? We don't know as of yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a way that they should go. You know, I think, you know, it's kind of off topic. What the hell? It's kind of off topic, but that I think is a way that they should go. If John Jones doesn't seem like that he's planning to fight soon. It doesn't, you know, by his tweets and stuff like that, it doesn't seem like he has really much interest in fighting. So if he's just not going to fight for the remainder of 2020, I don't know, man. I mean, I've seen belts stay on guys, you know, for longer than that. You know, we have seen belts on guys longer than that, and we saw the belt on DC for longer than that. You know, I want to say DC held the light heavyweight belt for about a year and a half before they made him defend it. So it's not like it'd be the first time, and we'd understand if it happened because they do this a lot. But I do think with where everything's at right now, it would be in their best interest to have at least an interim title, at least an interim title. I'm not going to go as far as say they should strip Jones. Maybe we'll cross that bridge, you know, relatively soon. We'll see how it pans out, but at least make an interim title or like a title eliminator or something. You don't even need to make interim belt, but just at least have like what we know is a number one contender fight. You know what I mean? Because if you have, if you put Reyes right there and have Reyes fight Santos, you know, let's just say, or have Blachowicz fight Santos or whatever. Blachowicz fight Reyes or whatever, however you want to mix it. I think that might even be a bit more enticing for Jones to come back, and they might even want to offer him more money for a rematch with one of those guys, depending on how that fight goes. So I think that might be the way to go for that. Yes, he at least make like a title eliminator fight that we know is for the number one contender.
May I jump in?
Yeah.
So, I posted this on Twitter a few days ago. I was actually talking about this because I think someone said the exact same thing about stripping Jones. Stripping Jones is useless because I think it's been done twice now, and he always ends up with the belt back, so it's just don't even strip him, just let him do what he's doing. And then on the Santos thing, I think there's a rumor that he's in the works. You can look it up because I did this as well because I was thinking the same thing of matching him and Reyes together. But apparently Santos has a rumored bout with Glover Teixeira. I don't know if it's true or not. You can look it up. But I agree. I think the fight that makes the most sense for an interim light heavyweight title fight has to be Dominic Reyes and Jan. Jan's the only one at light heavyweight in the top five, besides, I think, Glover, who is on a win streak. Reyes lost to Jones. Santos lost to Jones. Corey Anderson is in Bellator now, and I think it's Glover who's next. So, yeah, I think it makes sense for Reyes and for Jan. And, again, we know that's probably not going to sell the way that the people want it to sell, then put it as a co-main event. They love stacking title fights on three title fights on one card, but then, you know, they wonder why they don't have any stars. You don't give them a chance to, you know, build their star. You know, I just a thought.
Yeah, I can see doing the three title fights on like your International Fight Week and your Madison Square Garden. I can see doing, you know, three title fights on those cards. But like right now in the pandemic, why would you have three title fights on one card? That just doesn't make sense. You should span them out. You put Yarn versus Aldo. Well, you probably couldn't put that as the main event because so many people are so pissed off about it. But you probably could have made the Volkanovski Max main event, and you could have had the Yan Aldo as the co-main, and then you could have had the other title fight, you know, on another card. I mean, there is no reason right now during this time and age to have three title fights because there are no fans in the stands. So basically, you want to keep as many eyes on your product as possible, so you save your title fights. You don't put them all on one card. You know, you spread them out, you know, just like they're doing with Adesanya and Costa. I like that. What, they fighting, what, September, October? It's September, October, right? Yeah, I want to say it's September, October, because this month is Stipe and DC. So I think the next month is Adesanya and Costa. And then I want to say October is Khabib and Gaethje. That's the way you should be doing it. You should be spreading it out like that. And then maybe you put, because Valentina and Figgy is fighting in October as well, I think. But I think they're later in October. But you have to be smart with that. As far as, like, Valentina, you probably have to keep her at a co-main because of the way she's destroying her opponents. So you're probably not going to get, you know, many pay-per-view buys with her as the main event, unless it's Amanda Nunes. But, you know, man, the UFC just has to be smarter in how they do that kind of stuff. And, Evan, I think if John Jones was to get stripped of the belt, I don't see the UFC putting him directly back in a title fight. I probably think they will force him to move up to heavyweight instead of having him come back down to light heavyweight, unless he was to lose his heavyweight debut, and then they will allow him to go back down to light heavyweight. I think that's the way they would, like, try to solidify the new champion by having a new champion, maybe have that person defend, and then, you know, you go from there with John Jones. But I think the Jones thing has definitely took an ugly turn. And Evan, I have to say, I agree with what you say, man. If you're a champion, your purse should automatically be $1 million. Your purse should be $1 million every time you defend the belt, and you the champ, you should make $1 million. I don't understand why that's not feasible when the UFC is making so much money. Come on, man. They got to be better, man. Let's move on to some news that came out today. And, Keys, I'm going to start with you on this. All of us were fans of Corey Anderson. We were all fans of Corey Anderson. We felt Corey Anderson probably should have had a title fight before now. I thought once he beat Johnny Walker, he probably should have got a title fight, but that didn't pan out for him. Him moving to Bellator, how do we feel about Anderson moving to Bellator?
So I just saw that like 2 hours ago. I guess that was like this afternoon. They reported that, and I didn't see it till tonight. But I guess it was, like, some situation. You know, we won't go into depth on the situation. You know, go read the article. I don't want to take up too much time. We don't have that much time left. But how I feel about it is that Corey Anderson You know, he beat a lot of guys in the top 10, and I feel like, you know, regardless of anything else, like, I can understand him being frustrated with all the contenders he beat and not already having got a title shot and had to keep fighting until the point where he finally lost. And then now it's like, you know, the UFC would probably keep him away from the title now, and he'd probably have to win at least two more to even be back where he was. And I could understand him thinking, oh, hey, if I go to Bellator and just win one fight, I'll fight for the title, you know, and I'll get, you know, the money and the fame that I wanted, you know, for so long in the UFC. So, I mean, for him, I like the move, you know, for his career personally, just to see him thrive. But in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of like, man, you beat Johnny Walker and you said there's levels to this. You said there's levels to this. And then you basically just move down to the B League. So, yeah, that's a snooze right there.
This is my turn.
Okay. Evan, you want to speak on that, or did Evan already speak on it?
I'll speak on it. Yeah, pretty much to Keith's point, you know, I thought after the Johnny Walker win that, you know, there was actually going to be something. You know, he's starting to get a little flavorful. He's starting to talk a little more, feeling more open. But then, you know, I don't know. I think the pressure might have got to him. I think, you know, he had a rematch of fighter that he had already beaten, I think in his debut too, in Jan, and he had to do it in front of Jones. You know, I just kind of think, I don't want to say the cards were stacked against him, because it was the opportunity of a lifetime. It was the opportunity to beat Jan, a fighter he had already beaten, and do it in front of Jones, and, you know, put a stamp on his, you know, rise to the top and, like, give me that shot. But obviously it didn't happen, and he got put out, and, you know, now he's a Bellator fighter. I think it's a great move, personally. I think he's going to get paid probably better. He's probably going to fight, you know, the competition at Bellator. And already, he's one fight away from getting a title shot in Bellator, because their rankings mean less than UFC's, and that's not saying much. But, no, I think it's a great move. I think he's a veteran in the sport. I think he's only getting better. I don't think he's that old. He's probably 30. I don't know. So I think it's a smart move. I think it's a great grab for Bellator, and I hope the best for him. I really, really hope he, you know, he shows up and he, you know, proves to UFC that he was, you know, worthy of being signed, you know, back then, and, you know, was worthy of a title shot. So.
Yeah, I don't blame Corey at all, man. I think, you know, man, at some point in time, you have to take control of your career. And I think this is the time that he's taking control of his point of his career. It's like the guy should have had a title shot. Maybe he should have fought Jones before Reyes got a shot. And it's like the UFC disrespected him, man. It was like, this guy has beat, he beat three guys in the top 10, and y'all make him fight one more fight to prove that he deserves a title shot against a guy that he already beat. How disrespectful is that? It's like, come on, man. You can't, you know, there's only so much a person can take, you know, especially in a violent sport like the UFC. And I just always felt that Corey should have been in there against Jones before Reyes, you know, especially when he stopped the hype train of Johnny Walker, who everybody, you know, maybe this guy would be the next person to challenge Jones. And, you know, Johnny Walker has basically flamed out since then. You know, we'll see whether or not he can recover. But him versus, I think he probably gets Phil Davis or Lyoto Machida when he gets down there to Bellator. I think that'll be probably one of the guys he fight. Or they might throw Chael Sonnen in there, you know, because him and Chael both had that ground and pound wrestle type game, and that might be a good fight to see. But I just think what the UFC put Corey through, it was a good move for him to leave. And I just don't know. Well, if he went to belt here, he had to beat Brian Bader, who also flamed out of the UFC. So we really think Corey Anderson is a top 205 fighter. I mean, he'll have a belt, so we'll have to respect that. So, but, you know, I wish Corey all the luck. I wish he would have stuck it out in the UFC. But I understand, man, there's only so much disrespect a person can take. And I guess he reached his level. Because he still had, like, 3 or 4 more fights left on his deal, and he asked out. So, you know, more power to him and continued success, Corey. And that's just one of the things about the UFC business, that sometimes you can do everything right and things just don't go your way. And I think Corey Anderson is a shining example of that. And it's just sad.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. He'll probably go over there and fight, like you said. They could probably fight Machida, and then probably, depending on how that goes, they'll probably fight Bader after that. And then, yeah, it's kind of an easy path for him over there. He's just going to get a lot less money, you know, for the fights that you be in the UFC. You know, they don't pay nearly as much to their fighters. But, you know, so for the paydays, I mean, I don't think his paydays are really going to be that much bigger in Bellator, but, you know, definitely get the opportunities that he had been wanting in the UFC. So that's good to see that. You know, otherwise, you know, we're pretty much all out of time. It's been a great show, you know, episode 150. Do you feel like we left off on a good note here, Lee? You got anything else you want to dive into?
I mean, you know, we talked about Conor McGregor and Dana White standoff. You know, we talked about Corey Anderson moving to Bellator. We talked about the current state of the UFC as far as championship fights. You know, Evan joined us tonight. And, you know, I think we achieved our goal tonight. We gave the people a quality show.
All right, then, word. No, Evan, thank you for coming on, bro. I appreciate it.
No,
appreciate
thank you,
you as always.
Me. Appreciate it.
Episode 150.
Evan trying to get permanent. He trying to make this a 3-man show, man. We might have to think about that, Keys. Keys, we might have to take that to the drawing board.
No, we might actually have a serious talk about that, because Evan, you missed it early on, you know, before you had called in. We were actually talking about, you know, how, I mean, we put in 150 episodes on this platform, and how, you know, we might need to start having some serious thought into, you know, transforming our show, moving to a different platform, and, you know, reaching a bigger audience, and you know, change the format of how we do our shows. So, I mean, that might have to be one of the components in doing that. So, you know, that we don't just joke around when we say that.
Yeah, man, you know, like I said, this Sunday we follow, you know, me and Keys will talk about it, and then Evan, you know, we'll talk to you about it. But, you know, it's something we got to look at, man, and, me and Keys have talked about at the end of last year about maybe going to Spotify, you know, making that move, probably doing our show video, you know, maybe a Skype version or a Zoom version, where, you know, we doing our show. And, you know, man, it's just something that it's a thought. And you know, we just got to make our show bigger and better, man. And, you know, you've been a key contributor to our show. You co-hosted with me, I think. I don't know how you co-hosted with Keys yet. I know you co-hosted with me. And, you know, it's something that we'll kick around, man. You know, we appreciate your support, bro.
No, man, you know, I obviously deeply appreciate, you know, the kind words and everything. You know, I'm glad my, you know, my presence on the show has come, you know, has been, you know, appreciated. You know, I just want to always have fun, just bring, you know, good opinion for, you know, MMA. That's my biggest passion. I truly don't know what I would be doing with my life if I didn't find out about mixed martial arts. So I truly am grateful for you guys. So, yeah, thank you very much for the kind words, truly.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. You know, anything we can do, anything we can do. Yeah, so, I mean, episode 150 was good. You know, anybody who was listening, you know, and maybe in the listeners' queue didn't want to jump in into the show. I know some people just like to listen, so definitely appreciated there. You know, anybody who's ever supported our show, definitely appreciated. It's been 150 episodes here, 150 good episodes here, you know, and in my opinion, we've only gotten better, so that's you know, that's good looks right there, you know, good work. Me and my boy Lee, you know, over like past 3 years, almost 3 years now, it's been pretty epic. You know, there's been a lot of good times, and this show has actually gotten, this show has gotten me through a lot of stuff, you know, and that's something that I know is true. Like we always say, hey, no relationship advice. There's a place where that came from. Y'all don't know. Listen, there's a place where that came from. There wasn't just something random in our motto. There's a reason why Lee started saying no relationship advice. So we won't even go there. You got to go listen to the earlier episodes. There's a reason why. Okay, there's a how and why for everything, and there's a reason why Lee started saying and no relationship advice, and I started including it in our show's motto. You know, and absolutely no relationship advice. So. You know what I mean? So this show has got me through a lot of things, and I definitely appreciate that. My boy Lee definitely got me through a lot of things. I appreciate that. Boy Evan always coming on the show and supporting. I appreciate that. And, yeah, to many more, like we said, probably transform the show. We don't know when. Might not be tomorrow, might not be next week, but definitely relatively soon, you know, in the near future, you know, probably within the next couple months, we want to make some moves for our show and start to do bigger and better things. So, you know, from here on out. And in respect, always, everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Watch the Derek Lewis fight tomorrow. It's going to be a good one. And, yeah, everybody be safe, and thank you for supporting us. It's Keys over and out. Lee, the floor is yours.
All right, real quick, who you got tomorrow? You got Lewis or Olenek?
I'm taking Olenek.
Who you got,
Evan?
Lewis.
Evan?
Man,
I got a great time, huh? Man, I want to go with Lewis so bad, but when he fought DC, he couldn't get off his back. And I think Olenek is going to take him down, man. But I'm going with Olenek, man. I'm thinking Olenek going to submit him. So I'm going with Olenek. But episode 150, Lee and Key signing off for the night. You know, it's been fun. It's been real. You know, this show, we have done a lot of topics on this show, from gun violence to school shooting to music to get out and vote to the George Floyd situation. Our show touches on a whole lot of topics, not just MMA, which is our bread and butter, but we also like to be a show that keeps it real and able to switch up with the times and, you know, being able to do certain topics, you know, and this platform has given me and Keys a voice outside of social media that we can reach many more people in a positive light. And that's one thing about our show, is our show is always positive. You'll never hear an argument on our show. You may have heard disagreement in opinions, but that's just the way we as humans are set up. We're not going to always agree, but we disagree respectfully, and we keep it pushing. That being said, live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest every day, each and every day. Tell somebody you love them. Have one good laugh every day. Lee and Keys, episode 150, signing off. and then closer, as always.
Peace.
Peace.